Don, how are everything in your world?
Good.
I know you're ready, Chuck.
Yeah. I'm ready.
All right. Any new today, Dan?
No, traffic's not really bad. I'm going into Mames. That helps.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
All right, good morning. I'll call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, 10-11-2016. Happy birthday, Callie. And ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
She'd have been here, I'd have made her a cake.
All right, thank you again, and good morning. This is first item is always public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda. Is there anybody wishing to do so? And seeing no one moving immediately microphone, we'll move on to consideration. Oh, we're going to skip minutes. Those will come next week. So we're to personnel actions as listed, board.
Move approval as committed.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any notations? Clinton.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions pass. Consent agenda, please add road closure 1720 and utility permits 17029 and 17030.
Move to approve.
With noted changes.
With noted changes.
Second.
Motion and a second. Chee.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes. Public hearing items, consideration of proposed plans, specifications, and form of contract for Hickory Grove Park shower building / storm shelter, in consideration of setting a bid opening date for November 8, 2016. Mike Cox, Mike, how are you doing today?
Good. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well, this morning, asking for your consideration in going to bid for a project that we've designed for to replace an existing shower building at Hickory Grove Park with a shower building that doubles as a storm shelter. And so this is not a new subject to anyone here. I think we've discussed it in the past and have it budgeted and have discussed it for the last couple of years. However, just to show you some more information on it here. I know this is hard to see, but the circle diagram there on the left kind of illustrates where that would sit at the Breezy Bay campground, the main campground at Hickory Grove. And let me zoom in on that a little bit. The rectangle right in the middle of that circle is the existing building.
When was that built, Mike?
1970.
Thank you.
The diagonal hashed lines is the representation of the new building. So it won't sit. It sits a little on angle there in that circle, as opposed to the current one. And this is the floor plan of it. So the wings, if you will, at the top, on the right and left end, at the top of that, those are the traditional restrooms. Those three stalls in the middle, those are showers, unisex showers. So we've got restrooms on both sides, showers in the middle. On the lower side, on both ends, those are unisex restrooms, combination showers, and those are designed for accessible specifications. And then in the middle is the mechanical room for the building. So it's a pretty simple design. Show you some pictures. This is a building that over in Woodbury County, this is what we modeled our design after. It is the same building as what we are specifying through our design. We did that for a number of reasons. We toured this building, really liked it. It's a new construction, was built, I think, 2 years ago. really appreciated its design, its functionality, are utilizing, I guess, the design savings, some cost savings, and not redesigning a new building for us, but taking the design that was done for this building and putting that in our park. So just some photos of the outside of it. Again, ours is set to look just like this one. This is the inside. Now, as far as the storm shelter component of this, let me... this is the main congregation area for that would hold most of the area, most of the people. The building is rated to serve as a storm shelter for 190 people. And that is that would serve, if the campground at Hickory Grove was full, our average number of average number of occupants per campsite would fit in this building. So some more pictures. This is the inside of the restrooms. And I believe that's it. So, again, this is the replacement of the existing building with a new one that will serve as a storm shelter. In addition, Conservation Board has considered this and does recommend your approval. Just so you know some of our dates moving forward, if you approve this today, we will release it for bids right away. Those bids will be opened by you on November 8th. And then on November 15th, we would schedule a consideration of bid award. The construction for this would happen right away. We would demo the old building and then get the foundation put in for this building, and the contractor would tent it and work on it over the winter, and we would be open in the spring.
Mike, before we open the public hearing, you and I had a conversation about some potential areas that we could cut costs in this building. As I recall, we talked about going to the traditional gray flat prefab cement blocks. We talked about going to shingles on the roof instead of the metal roof, and we talked about instead of the full finish work that we were doing inside, so floor epoxy and things like that, just painted concrete. And I think in our conversation, and I don't want to misrepresent it, we came to the conclusion that that might save us a little money up front, but in the long run, in terms of maintenance and wear and tear, we would have a lesser building. You want to address any of that since we talked about it?
That's absolutely correct. When I received the final cost opinion back from the engineers, I asked them for some cost-saving measures. They produced some of those, and some of them are what you mentioned. The one that they did produce that I did ask them to represent in the bid is some site work, and i.e. some doing paved sidewalk and paved parking areas for the building. We'll handle that. I asked them to take that out of the base bid and put it as an additive alternate in this bid. And so if bids come in favorably and we could afford that through the contract, then we would recommend award that way. Otherwise, then we would fund that or do that in-house and
perfect.
Take it out of this bid. So, but that is the only of the possible deducts, the only one that didn't, if you will, compromise the quality of the building or the maintenance aspect of the building. So we could spend money up front or spend more money later, if you will, is a good analogy for the deducts, the only possible deducts that we identified.
Super. Board, questions for Mike before we open the public hearing?
Mike asked, he did a very good job last night with the board, I was in attendance, sharing this information. And there were considerable, a lot of questions, very similar to what you just raised, Supervisor Sanders, regarding the cost of saving measures that had been talked about. And I was extremely pleased with our level of discussion. And I guess I got a little bit of an education. Because when I saw the building about 190 people, I'm thinking, well, residents nearby the coal and other areas, if we did have a report of a major storm, depending upon when it happened and time of year, maybe they would be able to come in there, because we really don't have county facilities of this nature to prepare us for that. And when we talk about you know, our coop cog and everything else that we're talking about preparing for, you know, that disaster that could happen at some point, you know, this started to make a whole lot of sense. But Mike told me, as we looked at our figures, that it's not uncommon that at a normal campsite that this would accommodate, you know, all the folks that are basically there from all the different campsites that's available there in Hickory Park, Hickory Grove. And so it was an education for me, but I really felt that the board and Mike did just a terrific job in reviewing the proposal that is being brought before us. And now it's going to be up to the board to decide which direction we want to go. But I thought he did an excellent job last week.
Anything?
Built a lot of homes here in town, and I tell you what, it's nice to hear that the fact is we look to see what we can do internally on a cost-savings basis, and the fact that I have no love for a shingle roof, I think you guys are approaching it the right way, because it's not so much the cost of building, it's the cost of ownership. You will revisit that if you don't put a metal roof on that, and the fact that you might get yourself into a favorable bidding environment might allow you to do some things, you know, you might have some savings going forward that you might not anticipate, so...
One thing I should address, and when the discussion about the roof, you don't think, well, can a tin or a shingle roof at all possibly be a storm shelter or tornado proof? And so let me back up just a little bit here. The storm envelope, if you will, does not count that roof. The storm envelope is at the top of the concrete that you see there. So the roof, the inside roof is the storm shelter, is the structural roof for this. The top of that is not storm rated. So the roof itself is not storm rated. The ceiling inside the building is storm rated.
And there was a good picture of that on the interior where you could see the plank. The plank ceiling on the interior, right there, that's going to serve this,
right,
that envelope that you're talking
about. That's all concrete above that, those wood planks.
Good. Thank you. If there's nothing else, we'll open the public hearing and ask if there's anybody who would like to address this item. Seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. I'll turn to the board for action.
I would move to consider the proposed plans and specifications for letting a contract for the Hickory Grove shower and storm shelter in, the consideration of setting a bid opening date of November 8th.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second accepting these as the plans and specifications that we're going to send out for bid, with a bid opening to occur on November 8th. Further discussion?
None.
Chitty?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. It passes. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Next item is discussion and consideration of the managed print solution and information leading to the choice of a preferred vendor. It's got my name on it. I think the reason it has my name on it is I pushed that we try to take a look at this thing from a couple different angles. I will say that I think we've done a great job now looking at this from a couple different angles. There's a couple of assumptions that we're making that everybody's got to be clear on. I'm sure that there are those who would argue these assumptions, but these are the assumptions we're making. We're making the assumption that this is two high-quality companies that we're talking about, that both companies had the opportunity to take a look at what Story County does on a day-to-day, month-to-month basis in terms of our printing and copying needs, and were able to put together a proposal that they felt like would address that. If you accept those two assumptions, then we can truly get down to comparing the apples to apples of what is these proposed solutions going to cost Story County. We looked at that a multitude of ways, but finally three different ways. We looked at it based on direct bid, just how each of these two companies bid on the RFP that we put out. Then we looked at it trying to compare them to each other's bid. So if so Infomax put together a bid that included some minimum number of copies. Marco did not put together a bid like that because they're just going to charge per copy as we go. So we tried to look at both of them. Let's see, Infomax said that we were going to utilize 75,000 black and white copies, 9,000 color copies, 1,000 color impressions on a monthly basis. So then we wanted to take Marco's bid and take a look at it if, in fact, that was the number we were going to run. That was the second way we looked at it. And then we looked at it if we went over. So Infomax says, okay, here's what we're going to charge you up to this number of copies. If you go over, then we're going to charge you X amount per copy, depending on whether it's color, black, or white. Marco is charging us from the first copy on to do that. So then we looked at the overage. We looked at it all three ways. It came back really, really clear that Marco is the least expensive in all three occasions, and it wasn't even necessarily close. And so I lay that in front of the board that in my mind, if you accept the first two assumptions and you accept that we did a good job looking at these things, trying to compare apples to apples, that to me it becomes a pretty clear conversation. And I'll turn to the board from that.
Let me first begin. I certainly enjoyed the opportunity to see both presentations. Visited in the IT department and then also in the assessors. And I also recognize the outstanding service that the assessor's office had had from, I believe, Infomax for a number of years, and was feeling very comfortable and good about the working relationship and the fact that they are an Iowa-based company and so forth. And my concern here would be because the way that the assessor's office operates, different probably than some of our other departments, and if we decide to go with Marco, from a countywide perspective of all the others, we're not mandating that the assessor at the end of its lease or end of its agreement, I'm not sure if it's a lease agreement or whatever it is, would have to automatically just give up something that they're already doing. I guess I want to make sure that we have some level of what are we expecting, especially from the assessor's office, that already uses the other company.
Yeah. So the assessor doesn't work for us, right? The assessor works for the conference board. We're on the conference board, but we have one-third of a vote. The three votes are us, the mayors of Story County, excluding Ames, and yeah, I know you are. I'm doing this for everybody else. And the school boards. And that would be between our assessor and his conference board. You guys have been in enough of those. Well, yeah, you've been in those as president of school board. You've been in enough of those with me to know that I'm going to look at bottom line kind of stuff. And if our assessor decides he wants to go with something that is a more costly option, to me, he's just going to have to make that case to his conference board. As far as the Board of Supervisors laying down an edict and saying to the assessor, you've got to do exactly what we say, we don't have that kind of authority. Wayne has his own statutory authority. And so we're just trying to make a decision that's best, that we feel is best for Story County. Assessor's got to do the same thing for the assessor's office.
Great. Thank you for the explanation.
Absolutely. I need to say one more thing about what we looked at. So there were two different buyout amounts. So we have current leases with some of our copiers in different places. And Infomax and Marco had two different buyout amounts that were calculated in what they put together. We just pulled all of those out. We had no interest in any of the buyout amounts. Again, we were trying to get to apples, and for me personally, I believe it's Story County's responsibility to handle any kind of buyout that might come, and so I didn't want to see that as part of any of the bids, so we pulled those out as well.
Well, yeah, well, the only other thing is based on the cost comparison and the three criteria that you laid out, it's very clear to me that Marco offers the best upfront cost savings.
One of the things that I was particularly interested in as I was reading some of the letters and was the way in which the auditor's office would be impacted if they had a situation during the election, that they would be able to have a much quicker
Wayne, I want to mention something important to me at that time. Absolutely, but I'm not entirely sure that's accurate, so that was not one of our calculations. I think you've got two great companies here who would provide great service, and so we did not even go down the road of trying to say, you know, one would have a machine here within hours and the other might be days.
That's good to know.
Yeah, absolutely. We just tried to get down to the bottom line kind of issue. I think that's our responsibility when we put out an RFP like this, and that's where I feel like we got it.
Okay.
Questions, Marty?
Well, I was surprised to hear that we're using seven vendors. I would think that there, just from the jump, there's probably part of the problem. I think that, you know, just in my use of the copy machine we use up here in the Board of Supervisors, we do believe if that's the case throughout the county, we do have some pretty systemic problems. As it does on us from time to time. As I look at these, yeah, the numbers are pretty stark and straightforward. I guess I come, as Wayne spoke to here earlier, that the assessor's office is a kind of a standalone agency that has a machine-specific desire to be met. My question to the Marco folks, and I think it was answered previously, was the fact, is this machine available in your inventory to provide when their lease comes off this machine? And I believe the answer was yes.
Yes.
So I don't know, Wayne, if you have anything expressed, you know, of what you've heard up here today in regards to how you would speak to your office's individual technology needs or what you see on a going forward basis. I would ask, you know, if you want to come up and, you know, flesh this one out for me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wayne. Good morning, everyone. Is this on?
Mm-hmm. If the green light's on, it's always on.
Okay. I was involved on the committee where they did all the research, and we're very grateful to be a partner to work with Story County and all the other departments. We've always tried to do that, and try to do the best for our taxpayers. And some of the comments, like Rick had said, our office is a little different, and it's run by a conference board, which has three different taxing entities. And over the last several years, we have, let me step back a little bit. Our office provides a lot of aerial photography through our GIS department, and also we have photographs of all the different buildings in the county. And we've learned over time good quality really helps us on a lot of different situations with in court cases that we're in, and also other different agencies that we deal with, that this type of information is provided. And I know by dealing with companies that where you're dealing just one office versus if you're dealing with a fleet, it's certainly going to make a difference, just like how we deal in our office. The bigger you build the building, the cheaper it is per square foot. And the same thing ties in indirectly into the copies. Our office certainly, we're going to look at, you know, down the road, we're in the third year of a 5-year lease. And we have the Canon copier, which we've been very happy with. Over the years on how we made our decisions, I came here 12 years ago, and after a couple years, we looked at... we did have a Con Cuminolta. We decided to look at other ones, and it actually was with Infomax, who had sold the Con Cuminolta at that time, mm-hmm. which they don't carry at this time. And we had copied. One time we doubled. We had like a Ricoh, we had a Canon, we had a Sharp. We had all three copiers sitting in our office at the same time, tied into the system, and we ran the exact data to see how it compares. And we had that equipment for about a week. And we felt there were different vendors involved, and we were very fortunate they allowed that, because that gave us more ample time to make a decision what was a better fit for our office. And I guess at this time, that was the direction we went. It was very close between Canon and another copier, which isn't any of the ones that are being offered now. But I guess I just want to make sure I have the opportunity that our office can address this down the road with our board and potentially, see what the rates are. But we feel that we have a lot of, we do a lot more color than other offices do. We probably do close to 4,000 copies a month on color, which you have about 10,000 for the month to get in your bids. We have about 40% of that. And then we have between 70,000 and 80,000 black and white between a printer and our copy machine. So I guess at this point, I'm happy to see that you recognize that we do have a separate board, and I'm certainly going to look at that because cost is also a factor in everything we do, but we try to do the best product. And currently, we're very satisfied that the product and the service that we get on the copiers is certainly attributed to the efficiency and effectiveness of our office to deal with the taxpayers. So I guess at that point, that's all I have, unless you have we're very satisfied with the product we have, and I know the numbers that you're looking at. I'm not totally sure if we're comparing apples to apples, but I know you turned to all the numbers, and that's a decision that this board has certainly to make, and that's your responsibility.
And Wayne, we have really appreciated credible advocacy that you have given to a company that you're comfortable with and a copier that you're comfortable with. And I think we really did take that into account. At the end of the day, though, it's our responsibility, just like it's your responsibility, to provide the best we can for the taxpayers of Story County. And that's why you try to get to this apples-to-apples comparison. Now, as far as your office goes, I would hope that we'll continue to work together as we always have, which is Story County, including you, in our operations, wherever we can, wherever that's cost effective, but understanding that you are your own entity, report to your own board of taxing entities, and you got to make the right decisions in consultation with that board. So,
yes. Thank you.
Absolutely. This is not a public hearing item, but I'd love to hear from anybody who'd like to address this before the board takes action. Yes, ma'am.
Is it appropriate if I can?
Absolutely. You wouldn't be doing your job if you didn't.
Again, my name is Sarah Lambert. I'm sales manager at InfoMax Office Systems. And we really appreciate the opportunity to serve Story County. I know we've spent a year and hours on this project. And so we would just like to say thank you. A few clarifications. We, like Wayne said, have different models that we can choose from, and I know Marco has Canon as well, like we have Canon, and we have, there's different segments of machines in regards to quality and cost. We provided Canon because we felt that was going to be the best quality for the county. However, if we were looking strictly at cost, there's other machines that are still good machines that don't provide the same quality like a Canon does. And in regards to apples to apples and looking at the two different programs, if you guys would prefer to actually see the information that includes the no minimums, then that would adjust the base payment. You'd have to take out the $75,000 included.
Sure.
And it would also adjust the cost per page as well. In the very beginning, when we started this in July 2015, we discussed three different programs that InfoMax provides, and that includes the no minimums. It includes a matrix program, which you pay for as you go after you use it, and there's a tier, which Wayne, the assessor, is on, and then there's also one that's the shared volume. My in-depth knowledge of the account, I'm very confident in what we provided. My concern would be with the bid process, there wasn't specific machines that were asked with specific accessories like finishing capabilities, badge authentication. So with that makes the bid process a little unique that was provided, and my concern is it's not apples to apples when you have so many machines here and different here. How can you compare those apples to apples if they don't have the right finishing capabilities.
Well, Senator, if I can interject just a little bit, we're kind of, when we submit bids, the bidding process is fair to everybody. And the way I look at it is if companies have something unique and some additional things that might make the difference, they should bring that up during the course of that. In other words, sometimes they have to think outside the box based on what they see right before us. Because normally speaking, at the end of the day, what taxpayers look to us for is cost-effectiveness for the quality for the job that we're asked, that we're seeking. And when we finally get down to comparing those kinds of things, it's very difficult sometimes to see a wide differential and then recognize that we've got two quality companies, two quality products, and then go with a much higher one, even though we've had one department or a particular group that have had some positive success from it. And so it's not meant to despair what was shared. I just think that sometimes that within the bidding process in itself, I've never seen a bidding process of any kind that covers each and everything in all of my years of service here. And I think it's encompassing upon maybe during the course of the discussion that maybe we didn't ask those questions up front when you guys were here, or if we did, maybe the conversation didn't specify some of those things as much. So I wasn't a part of the final negotiation part like Supervisor Sanders was working with the committee and so forth from this standpoint. But I want to just basically say to you, I have no qualms whatsoever about the quality of your company or what you guys have done and the bid that you submitted. And I do think that this is not unusual after the process to see that had maybe we specified this or that, that we probably could have gotten some additional information. I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. Anytime we have a bid, we're going to see it on November 8th when we open bids for the shower building that we had. You're going to have different companies who we're going to give them all the same information to make a bid. They're going to make their bid based on what's out there. Somebody's going to come in with a lower bid. We're going to assess whether it's a quality bid or not. In this case, we believe both of them are quality bids. That is not to say that maybe you guys didn't bid machines that do more than we asked for or something like that. It's not. But at this point, I don't think we can reasonably go back in and renegotiate what our bids were. You guys submitted your bid, they submitted theirs, and all this entire process from that point on has been trying to get as close to apples as we can. That's where I feel like we are. I really appreciate where you are in this, and you know, nobody is ever more expensive, right? They're always, if they're more expensive, it's because of quality or service or whatever, and that's why you're good at your job. It's our job now to try to make a decision, and that's where I think we are. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Board, other thoughts?
None. I like the idea we're moving from 7-1, and I think this will be a success either way we go. I'd have to say that, that's hard to get this boiled down. I am mindful of Wayne's considerations in his office, but he has a 2-year lease remaining, and we will visit on that later. I guess the dollars are the big driver here. I did reach out to one person in his organization in regards to what they had to say about InfoMax. It was glowing, and they are well thought of. But I set up here, and these are not my dollars I'm spending. These are the public's, and I think I have a responsibility to them. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, and the only thing I'd say, really glowing things about InfoMax, but then talking to several of the large entities that use Marco, really glowing things about Marco, too. That's, again, not too
right.
Really
too good companies. Exactly.
So we're to the point to make a decision. Anybody willing to make a motion?
I would move that we accept the low bid that was presented to us here from Marco with the monthly breakdown cost as laid out in the proposal. I don't know if I need to really mention what each of those
you
are.
You need to move. If you just move the Marco,
move the Marco.
Yeah.
I would say the county's done its diligence. This is a year in the making. We've looked at it pretty hard just in the short time that I've been here. And I'd like to think that going forward that the county's well served on behalf of the public. I second the motion.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Further discussion. Clinton.
Aye.
Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Marco is who we're going with, and thank you to everybody. No agency reports today, departmental reports, animal control, and Sue, again, did not bring any show-and-tell items.
One of these days.
Okay.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi there.
Well, we'll start out. My little agenda that I hand out is a little different than probably you get from most people. But I like to keep everybody guessing until I get here. The first one would be what's going on with our numbers. So our calls for assistance have been very high. We have got a lot of animals that are coming in, but we're finding out that we are also being able to help a lot of people keep their animals by things that we can help them with. You know, there's still an unemployment issue and there's other things going on, and people who are bonded with their animals don't want to get rid of them, and so we're trying to help that. But our calls for assistance were 3,801, and that was for the last 3 months. Our volunteer hours, they're usually much more, but in the summertime when we lose our students, which makes up a big percentage of our volunteers, because there's a club over there, Straw, that students helping rescue animals, which is devoted to coming over to the shelter. We had 297 hours, but that amount will increase now. Excuse me, we're seeing a lot more students coming in. Our adoption rate on all animals, everything that comes in the shelter, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is 99.4%. By agency standards across the United States, we are considered a no-kill shelter. And we're very proud of that. We work with the animals very hard to get them adopted, which in turn has helped us with being able to, which I will expound on later, being able to continue on with our program. Currently in the shelter, number two, how full are we now? Well, we have 13 dogs, 141 cats. 2 rabbits, 4 guinea pigs, 2 tanks of fish, a cockatiel. So, and we would have more, but we don't have the ends full right now. We could take a few more dogs, but we are really full. That being said, our adoptions are now, we always kind of go through a slump. There's about 3 times of the year when people are getting ready to send kids back to school. You know, there's a lot going on. People are heading out for vacations and the holiday time. But the rest of the time, our adoptions are pretty steady. So we're typically full this time of year. We will continue to see litters of kittens until early December. And then during the winter when our numbers back off, then we are able to get all these animals adopted and be ready to start again in the spring. It's ours now. Congrats to the county. Well, congratulations, Story County. In August, the county board of supervisors moved forward with the purchase of the property at 975 West Lincoln Way, which had been rented by the county previously for 7 years. The owner did decide to retire, and we were given the opportunity to buy the building. We are proud that half of the money used to buy the shelter came out of our donation account, and it was helpful not only for the taxpayers in the county, but it also showed that donating the shelter does bring good things. So we are very anxiously, and I will be the first one to say, I just can't hardly wait for everything at the shelter to get done so that we can operate and show off our new building. We're hoping when the remodeling's done that we would be able to have an open house when that's finished and invite everybody in to see how it's changed.
And take a cat or two home with you.
You know. And I really want to thank our... I really want to thank our Friends of the Animals people who have donated into this account and believed in what we do. I want to thank the Board of Supervisors for... you know, standing behind us and feeling that this is a good move for the county. And I want to thank the other people now that have been brought into our world to work with, Cal Pearson and John Eichholz. You know, we're going to all do this together, and I think when we're done, we're going to have a really nice quality project that people can come in and really be proud of. With ISU back in session, which brings us to number four, the students are back, which for us brings many good things. Previously mentioned volunteers, but the ISU Vet School does many, many services for our shelter, and this year they started a new program. When I first started, there were like five shelters involved in this program, and now there's 23. So we don't get to take as many animals as we used to, but the program that they're doing this year provides much more service to the animals we do take. They used to spay and neuter, now they're doing the shots and the heartworm tests and everything as part of this project, so that's really nice, and it's an incentive for adopters because they're providing the rabies shot and the heartworm tests, you know, that normally right after the adoption they would want to go out and take care of. So it's a good program. We get our share of animals in there, plus we are their first standby when when they need animals, and we're always graciously hurrying over in the truck to get them there because, especially with cats, we have so many, so this really cuts our costs down. Number five, just another reason to spay and neuter. I've got some statistics I thought everybody might just find interesting. I sure do. People don't sometimes realize the factor of pet overpopulation. You hear about it on TV. You may not think it happens in Iowa, but more aptly happens in larger cities. And this is just an example. If you start with two unneutered cats, one male and one female, and the cats are left to breed, in the first year you'll end up with 12 cats. Okay? Not a lot. The second year is 67. The numbers go on. By the seventh year, with these two cats and their offspring not being spay or neutered, you have the potential to reach 370,000 cats in a seven-year period, starting with two unspay or neutered ones. So now you think about all the unspay or neutered cats running around in Story County or everywhere else, and you see why these numbers are so high. And, you know, some are lost to disease, some are lost to predators, you know, whatever does happen. But even imagining that it was 100,000 after 7 years, that's a huge population. So that's why we are definitely on the spay and neuter bandwagon. We go out, we talk about it, we do things, I can talk about that later, but we want to make sure that the animals in Story County don't get out of hand. We've helped with a lot of the trailer courts getting that under control. We have helped farmers who have large populations, and we want to continue to keep that number so that we don't have an epidemic that the other places in Iowa are seeing. We have many other counties call us and say, how are you handling this? And you know, I know there's other counties that we're very fortunate that Story County has been proactive to have an animal control program. Other counties wish they did, you know, and so it's a very good thing that the spay and neuter thing is getting out there. We've been able to convince people who thought they never wanted to spay and neuter to do it, and we're going to continue on with our message. There just aren't enough homes for them all, so that's what it boils down to. Number six is giving us a moment at OI Radio, which is 89.1. They contacted us with info about our animals. They wanted some PSAs, and they just wanted to kind of chat online for a while. The first one aired last Friday. The next one will be in about 2 weeks, and the last one will be right before Halloween. And they're just more of public service announcements on, especially this time of year. We do not adopt black animals out of the shelter. We do not adopt black cats out as much as we'd like to. We don't adopt black dogs because there are groups out there who look to get their hands on those animals for things during Halloween. And so the month of October is off limits. This all started several years ago, and it's become quite common in shelters now to do this, but I don't know, it's been even 20 years or maybe even longer than that. I got a call when we were at the old building from a lady down in Des Moines, and this is, of course, before we had call waiting and all this stuff, so there was no way, it was just a phone call, and she said, you know, I'm calling from Des Moines, how many black cats do you have? Well, okay, is this a survey, or, you know, so I said, well, I think at the time we had like five or six, and she says, okay, what time do you close? I'll be up to get all of them. Very suspicious. It was 2 days before Halloween. Why would you need five or six black cats? well, I just need them. I'll be up. I'll pay the adoption fee. And, of course, that put the radar right up. I told her just out of my mouth at the time, I said, well, I'm sorry, we don't adopt black cats until after Halloween. And we hadn't even been doing anything about it. It was just a gut instinct I had. And I said, so you're welcome to come in after Halloween. You know, wait a couple more days. You can adopt one. And she goes, well, I won't be interested then. So I got online. I did some research. I went to the library. I looked up a lot of stuff. There were shelters in the bigger communities that had started to do this. And so we're following suit. It's kind of nice when all the shelters can do things kind of equally. And so we feel this is just a safe thing. Because unfortunately, a lot of times we're the ones that see the bad side of what happens. And so we're trying to just protect.
So now, Sue, timing in this case was a factor. But what if that person would have used my message? You know, I always say black is beautiful. And if they would have just said, you know, I want this cat because they're black and they're beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, would it have made a difference?
Well, no. You know what I would have said? I agree with you. Black is beautiful, but come in 2 days.
Okay.
And adopt our cat.
Great response. Great response.
So the KHOI radio segment, they're going to periodically contact us. You know, this has been a terrible year for all different kinds of pests. If you have pets, you know, the fleas and the ticks and everything else that's been out and about has been a problem. And so we're just going to have an online or an on-air discussion about this periodically. And it's just kind of to throw out there what's happening at the shelter and the kind of things we're dealing with and any recommendations we might have. So it's a very nice opportunity for us. Number 7 is Who Let the Dogs Out? Story County Animal Control and Pi Kappa Alpha. We had a fundraiser there on Iowa State campus last Wednesday, October 5th. It was right next to the campanile. It was a beautiful day. This is the second time that we've done this with them. They informed me that we will be their shelter that they will have this event with every year. It was a great day. Lots of kids came. They paid $5. And they get to come into this pen where we have the animals, small and large, happy, old, and they come in and they can sit or walk animals or sit with the animals. We sent all the animals off for a rabies shot and make sure we were covered in all those areas. And then we have a liability form that we've had, and we had everybody sign that. And so it was a very nice day. We don't know how much money yet they raised. They also sold T-shirts, which this is one of them, and it just says Pike's Puppies on the back. And so it was a very nice day, and they're a very nice group of young men, and we enjoyed working with them. They were a lot of fun, and they were very, very, very good to us. Story County Animal Shelter has been thinking about, in the future, finding a way to, and this is at the very beginning stage, but we just talked about this yesterday out there, that we would like to make some sort of a video or a presentation online that would include the Schroff students. Maybe, you know, choose this fraternity, another sorority, maybe choose people from the dorm, school kids, kind of get a group going where we would make something, put something out there about the importance of animal ownership and taking care of them and why it's important to spay and neuter. And like I said, we're just at the beginning phases of that. Mm-hmm. So we think that would be fun and nice to have out there for people. It would be on our website, and, you know, we might even see if we could get it on AIMS TV. So it was a very fun day with the Pike House. They're awesome, awesome guys. Back to the future. So there's many things coming up. We're having a neuter clinic in November. It'll be a neuter clinic only. Reason being, a spay takes so much longer than a neuter. A veterinarian can probably do 3 neuters in the time she does 1 spay. So we are looking to have our vet, or one of our vets, another vet that we know, and we're going to try to ask a bunch of veterinarians. We've already got the okay from 2 to come in on a day that selects that works for everybody, and we will neuter a cat, a male cat, and then we will give it a rabies shot, and it'll cost $20, which is a steal. And once again, you know, this is our way of trying to keep that population down. And we will offer it to everybody in Story County. They'll be able to come. We will get reservations from people ahead of time so that we know how many are coming and how many to plan for. And, you know, we're going to have these periodically. So it's a good thing. We're having a small garage sale at the shelter October 21st from 11 to 3. And we're going to be selling all kinds of fun things. So if you have time to stop out, of course, there'll be some animal things, dog beds and whatnot, but there'll be and animal supplies, but there'll also be like furniture, decor people have donated. And like I said, we used to have these huge garage sales, and it's so hard to have them anymore because of locations to find to be sure that we have them inside in case of weather. So we decided we're going to do maybe two small ones a year, one in the spring and one in the late fall. So anyway, that'll be coming up, and we're excited for that. And then I have to bring this up again. Speaking of remodeling, there's so much to do and look forward to. I don't think you guys realize the extent of how I lay awake at night and think about things. Right now, CalPERSON is working on some safety things that need to be accomplished. A fence across, because we do have a pond out there. Our lighting for the exit signs for fire, our outside lighting. And Cal and I are working on this. He's very competent. I feel, you know, we now have a good relationship. We're going to get this done, and it's going to be in the best interest of everybody in the county. I know some things are going to have to wait until next year. That's hard, but I'll wait. There's just a lot of little things and projects, but hopefully, you know, by this time next summer, maybe we can be having a grand opening, and I guess I should say fall, and we'll be able to invite everybody out and let them walk through what we've created and what we've created for the animals and for the people of the county. And I'm just very grateful again to you guys for backing us, seeing the same vision we have and wanting to improve the lives of the stray animals in the county. And that's all I have to do.
Super.
Thank you, Sue.
Yeah, so, I mean, clearly, Story County made a decision many years ago of the role we were going to have with stray and neglected animals, and identified somebody with great passion and vision for what it could be, Sue. And you look at how far it's come under your leadership, it's phenomenal. And Sue and I talk in my office occasionally, and I have to chuckle when you say we may not realize how much you lay awake. We realize how much you lay awake. Absolutely. And the message I keep having with Sue is you got to have a little patience. We're going to get there. It's just not going to happen overnight. And we're going to do what we have to do in a methodical, thorough way. And it's a beautiful facility that we have for the people and the animals of Story County. And you take a look at all our facilities, this one's going to fit right in and be a great thing for everybody. So thank you very much. We're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No other reports. Public forum number two. Opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Of course, no action because we can't do the requirements of the late meetings law, and County Attorney Jessica Reynolds would get mad at us. But if there's anybody who'd like to address us about anything, now's the opportunity. Seeing no one moving the microphone, liaison assignments and committee meeting updates, Wayne.
No liaison, but I will report very quickly on the committee. Last night I attended the Conservation Board annual meeting and so forth. Again, outstanding board meeting. We covered just some key things. We've already talked about one dealing with the Hickory Grove shower building that's going to be coming back to us here next month for the opening of the bid. We also had a recommendation to approve the C2C plan. That's going to come to us, a recommendation from the Conservation Board, I believe November 8th, I think it's on the agenda. Leanne was there. She did an excellent job, again, talking about the implementation matrix and where we were. We had Nancy France call in. Just a tremendously engaged Conservation Board, and I'm really pleased with that. We also talked about our capital improvement plan and approved that for FY18. Mike did an excellent job of laying out some of the long-term and short-term goals and things that is part of our vision, recognizing that they are an integral part of a countywide CIP plan and how working together is going to be the benefit of everybody. And I'm just so impressed with the level of cooperation that we have from conservation with all of our other departments in our CIP plan as well. And then we also talked about an approval of an agreement with TerraCon on wetland mitigation. And we had a report on the strategic plan that the county conservation program is doing. And of course, as always, Jerry Key gave his environmental report, and we were pleased to have a discussion about something that is ongoing, and we'll be talking about a little bit later about the U.S. Corps of Engineering and transfer of federal land. So it, all in all, it was just an outstanding board meeting, and you know, I seem like I learned something each and every time that I'm there.
Well, thank you so much for representing us on that board. Marty, anything?
Ways on assignment tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock here. Nevada, it will be, the engineering firm will be announcing the choices that were made by the just over 1,000 people in regards to the site planning for the Story County rec facility. But we're seeing the three, which one was selected, and we have a Board of Health meeting this afternoon, which is never boring. And if anybody's got a little free time today,
yeah, we need to get those back to being boring. Will you do something about that?
I will do my part this afternoon.
Outstanding. Nothing for me announces, Wayne.
Yep.
Marty, you guys got any forms this week, or are they taking it easy on you?
No, this is Sunday.
Oh, we got a week.
That's a week away.
Okay, it's a week. Oh, that's 20. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when do
you? Next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
So no forms this week for the campus.
Not this Sunday, it's the following Sunday.
Well, I don't know, you guys taking a vacation or something. All right, if we've got nothing else, I take a motion to adjourn.
Yeah. So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.